On today's complicated conversation, we are thrilled to chat with Arielle Haller Silverstone, the writer and co-producer of Love Reconsidered, an indie rom-com about a down-on-her-luck New Yorker whose life is suddenly transferred to the Hamptons after a chance meeting with a wealthy consignment store owner. Ari comes from an acting background in addition to her writing and producing work. In 2018, she created and starred in the short film Sac de Merde. Sack went on to screen in over 200 film festivals around the world, winning over 65 awards. Love Reconsidered is in select theaters and is now streaming when this comes out. So welcome to Pop Fiction
Thank
Women,
you.
Ari.
Thank you.
We are so excited to have you. As you know, we had the great pleasure of being part of the Hamptons premiere of this movie.
So fun.
So for that, we got the advanced screener. So we loved the movie and we were coming in to watch it and then do a panel discussion with you. But sitting there, then watching it in the theater was a whole nother experience for us. Like the energy, hearing the
with
people
a packed
laugh.
Audience. Yeah, yes. It was so fun.
Yeah. So we screened it at the Westminster Beach Performing Arts Center. Loved it. Was that the first time you and your producing partner, SJ, and your director, Carol Hartzell, was that the first time you guys saw it on screen? Or
no,
in a theater with an audience?
In a theater with an audience. Yes, maybe.
I think it was with an audience. You hadn't had it yet.
You know what? That cut, we had seen it in theaters, like with our own cut. And then that was the first time we had seen like our distributor's cut, which... they made some changes, rightfully so, and that was the first time we had seen like the completed movie in theaters with an audience. Yeah,
I bet it doesn't get old, even if it was the second or third or fourth time.
It doesn't,
right?
It doesn't.
No,
I think you know. You're always. I think I'm always worried. I'm like, did we make a good movie or a bad movie? And I think that every time you see it with an audience and you hear the laughter, you hope, and you know, you just sort of feel the energy. It just sort of alleviates your fears a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit, you know?
I'm so glad to hear you say that because it's so crazy that making art is just that way. Like, you study things, you know things, you talk about things, you do things, and then ultimately it comes out and you don't know how people respond. And it just, you know, for all the stuff that goes in the back end of it, it's binary. Do people think it's good or bad? People aren't very nuanced often in their reception of things. So are they going to think it's good or it's bad? This movie is great, but it is crazy to not, you don't, you, it's hard to tell when you're in it, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, a lot of things landed there. People loved it in the audience. That you did get the laughs when you needed to and the reactions. And we loved that energy. So this movie does have an amazing ensemble cast. And we're going to talk about them and a lot of different threads and storylines. But we like to start with our protagonist, our female protagonist. And this really is Ruby's story and a real journey of self-discovery for her. And I know from that and from you personally that this has a very true life inspiration. So as the screenwriter, tell us more about Ruby and the story behind your story here.
I mean, so much of what I wrote for Ruby really happened to me. And I really did, you know, follow this guy to the Hamptons and open up a consignment store. And I really, you know, all of these things happened. And I had never really spent a lot of time in the Hamptons, like maybe a few times on vacation with my family, but we were not like summering here. We were not summer people here. That wasn't a part of my life. And so when I got here, I was so, I think I was like in awe of the community, both like the local community and the summer community, how those worlds collide, how I experienced myself in both of those communities. And I also found myself like with no place to live because my ex-boyfriend, who in his defense, we weren't even really dating when I moved here. He was like, we weren't even together. You're making it seem like I left you stranded like on the side of the road. And I'm like, yeah, no, I mean, for, you know, but that's how it felt inside, you know?
Yeah.
Which I think all women can relate to. And anyway, and I really found myself like, where am I going to live? I signed this lease for this storefront in Southampton. Like, where am I going to go? And I ended up in a trailer for like probably 3 to 4 months with this guy named John. And that's really how that went down. You know,
I love it.
So you put a lot of that into Ruby.
Yeah, I did. And I think I, you know, when I opened the store, I started writing and I was working with a really just excellent writing coach whose name is Timothy Cooper. And at first it was a pilot and we did a reading of that pilot at the Cultural Center. And the feedback was everybody just wanted more of Ruby. And even though we had these other characters who were fruitful and exciting, Ruby really felt so real and relatable to them. And so that's when I decided to make the feature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, if Ruby is drawn from your life, you also add in other threads into the movie and under the theme of love reconsidered. And we see it love reconsidered from different perspectives, different points of view. There's the guy who edits porn and has a mom fetish, the gay couple where one guy pushes back to be independent and doesn't want to be a kept man, which is a trope we see often with a woman. But here you've changed that. We also have Helena and Dan, the married couple that spices it up with another couple, and the teenage girl who is trying to figure out what sex and love really are versus expectations and reality and what you might see portrayed and what she wants it to be. So I want to hear more about the inspiration for those threads and how you develop those storylines.
Totally. I think one of my favorite storylines is the young girl who is played by one of my really good friends, Amelia, who's sort of experiencing sex for the first time. And I feel like it's still, you know, I was such a late bloomer, which I think a lot of people can relate to. And I was always sort of fascinated on like how sex even happens, like as teenagers, as people in college. And I think that I was always struck by feeling I had to feel like I was way older than I actually was. And I still feel that way. Like there's this pressure to be more mature than you really are. And I think that's what really inspired me to write that particular vignette. Anyway, so that's what sort of inspired me for that. And then the swingers, I had heard a story when I was in New York about these suburban couples that go to swinger events and what that does to their relationship. And then I started hearing more stories about suburban couples who go to swingers events. And I was like, what does that even do to your relationship and why? You know, I mean, cool. Like, that's cool. But I wanted to sort of investigate that more. And then with the gay couple, that was originally like that was a young woman and an older man. And I think once the actors, Javi and Colton, came on board, we wanted to investigate what it would actually mean to have sort of an LGBTQ angle. And I think that they really rose to the occasion and it felt really right for the movie to have that kind of experience in the movie also, because it is it's a different kind of love, but it's also the same. It's different and it's the same. So like, how do we incorporate those things? And for the porn guy, I had heard a story many years ago about a guy who, and it was a porn director actually, who couldn't get turned on by just like regular sex anymore. He would get turned on by very benign things that women would do. And that always intrigued me. I was always like, that is the best thing I've ever heard. You know?
Yeah. I love how that it was evolving right up until shooting when you were.
Oh, it was evolving during shooting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like great.
Colton and Javi came on board and we were like, okay, we're going to adjust this now. You know, we're writing the script day of, like for sure.
Love that.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I also just love, you know, the writer's mind and how everything's material, like these things you've been collecting or these stories you hear, you're like, there's more there. Like you said, with the swingers, like, you're like, I don't know. I don't judge, but it's interesting. Like, what does that do?
Let's explore that. Yeah.
Let's explore through the writing. All right. So you have these ideas, you write this. So tell us like what happens next. I mean, how does this indie rom-com find its way to actual theaters for Valentine's Day? Because we know from our panel with you that at some point, director Carol Hartzell comes on board. We know your producing partner, SJ, is involved. Like, but you shoot in the Hamptons. I mean, how does this happen? And then you need to get distribution rights, which is something people don't really understand.
Like, I still don't understand it.
Right. There's a big learning curve here. Yeah. And you guys have experienced it?
Yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot. And
movie producing boot camp.
It was like I went to film school in like a week. Yeah. And this is how it works. You know, I always sort of feel like I have a hunch about stuff sometimes, not all the time, but like a little bit. Sometimes I have a hunch if I feel the timing is right for something. And I felt this, that the timing was really, really right to film because we were sort of at the tail end of COVID. Not a ton of content was coming out. There wasn't a lot of rom-coms that we could experience. I mean, I just sort of felt in my bones, like I felt like I had to do it then. Like if I waited, I was going to sort of miss this opportunity of like getting the actors that I wanted to get and stuff like that. And so I pushed really hard to start filming. I went to the first investor was me. But the second investor was somebody named Wes Hall, who I had met when I did my short. And he sort of said, you know, the next thing that you're doing, let me know. And so I called him and I said, I'm doing this thing. He's like, what do you think? So he threw me a couple bucks, which was so generous. And then our main EP, whose name is Ian Stone, came into the store one day and said, I happen to want to make a movie. What are you doing? And then that's how all of this came together.
Oh my God.
I mean, it was so, so, like in Yiddish, we say beshert. It was just like the right time at the right place.
And fate, right kismet, result. What, right.
Yes,
yes.
All of the things.
Yes. Oh my God.
Oh,
gosh.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me though, Ari. I could just see you striking up this conversation with this guy and then somehow it comes out that you've written a movie and he wants to executive produce it. I just feel like that's your energy, which is amazing.
Thank you.
And
Thank
that's
you.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we filmed it and we didn't have distribution, which I'm not sure I would do again. Right. I think I would always try to have distribution before I started filming. And the sales agent for this movie was also Sophie, who's the star, who plays Ruby. He was a sales agent for her last movie. So he reached out to us and said, can we help sell this movie for you? And I said, yes, you can. Yeah. Absolutely. Come on board. And then we were introduced to our distributor, who's now taking it to theaters and putting it on streaming services, et cetera.
Yeah. And Corinne, she loves her lawyer as the two lawyers on the phone. And I told her your husband is an entertainment lawyer. Ari loves her lawyer. You know, not everyone loves lawyers. Ari loves her lawyer.
Shout out to Scott Goldman. He is the backbone of my life. Like,
you know,
he's the backbone.
I will say entertainment lawyers are often overlooked and they are the backbone of production and so many people's lives to get things actually done.
Love Shout
that.
Out.
Love that. Yes. Well, I want to talk more about the cast because there's some important names in this cast, not least of all, but most important to me was Luke from Summer House. Kate didn't even mention him when she was first telling me. And then I saw the trailer and I was like, wait, I'm sorry, Luke from Summer House is in this? Dying. Mm-hmm. When we were at the pack, we talked to Carol about how conscientious he was, how he was really like a good actor and trying and would go take her direction really well and try really hard in his scenes. I love that about him. But how did that come to be? Because I need to know that.
That's such a good question. I mean, I really have to give such kudos to my now producing partner, whose name is SJ. Her name's SJ Alaco. And she cast this whole thing. She is, apart from Scott and Ian and Wes, and Carol and all the amazing cast. Like, she is the most amazing casting director I've ever worked with. She would create these lists for us. I mean, we had no money. Like, we just had no, like, there wasn't a lot of money here. And she would create these lists for people that really wanted to act. I mean, of course, we paid and we paid scale and or more, or whatever. But she really cultivated such an incredible list of actors for us to choose from. And when we saw Luke, he was just so perfect for this kind of role.
It was.
And he was hungry and he wanted it. And he was so process driven. And he took the hardest thing about that role of John is that you have to have an actor that takes it seriously, because if he knows he's being funny, it's not funny.
That's right.
It's true.
You know, it's just not, it's unfunny, actually.
It doesn't land. Yeah.
It doesn't land. Uh-uh. And so he embodied who this person was and took it so seriously. That it was just the funniest thing we'd ever seen. I mean, we were just dying, like, on the floor. And it also encompassed who the real John was.
Right.
The real John was really good looking and You know, literally, I showed up to the trailer in East Quag, and I was like, oh, like, oh my God, that's so nice to me. And he was like this plumber maybe, or like a handyman. Yeah. Anyway, and I was moving into the store, and he'd be like, hey, like, do you want me to pop by and just like put some shelves up? Or like, what do you need? And it was like the best, and it was awesome. You know?
Yes. So I mean, you have to have a straight face when you're like, let me give you a tour of
literally,
this room.
But he did. Yeah, he did. It's the best. And, so and the actual trailer, I hope he's listening because he has such a special place in my heart. The actual trailer was like, it was actually very nice. But my room was like a carpeted room with a futon on the floor with like a comforter. And like all of his fishing equipment was in the closet. And he was like, this is it. You're home away from home. And he was so like, welcome, you know?
Welcome,
and it was,
yes.
I'm serious. Oh, that is so good. I mean, but how about casting yourself, essentially yourself? Yeah. I mean, Ruby, I don't know that it could be more perfectly cast with Sophie von Hasselberg. Did I say her last name correctly?
Yeah.
Bette Midler's daughter. Hello. Yeah. Some Hollywood royalty there. I know you have John Lemon. Jack Lemon's grandson plays Noah. Yeah. I mean, you got some real stars in the making, but really, is it weird to cast someone that's essentially you?
You know, it wasn't. I think originally I was supposed to play Ruby, and I just couldn't do it. We were producing, we were writing. I was just exhausted. I looked like shit. I just like couldn't handle the idea of actually having to act on top of it. And I went to SJ and I was like, I can't do this, you know? And I also feel like in retrospect, it was so much better for the movie to have Sophie in it and all the clout that she brings. And also just generally her talent is like next level. I mean, I think she's one of the best actresses I've ever had the pleasure of working with. And she just copied like my mannerisms. Like she just got it. Mm-hmm. And she read the script. She liked it. And SJ told me, she's like, it's going to be a reach to get her because she's so talented and so good. But she was like, yeah, I'm down. So we brought her out like 4 days later.
Love Amazing. That.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, we know that falling in love and love stories, rom-coms involve a lot of passion and romance, but you know, opening up to someone and being in a relationship can be awkward and humorous and embarrassing. And I just think some rom-coms are just too light on the com. Yours is so funny. It's so, so funny. You know, we talked before about the classic miscommunication scene between Ruby and Noah, which I think is one of the funniest scenes in the movie. Bad cell phone reception in the Hamptons is very well known. But, you know, she thinks he's saying one thing, like, I love you, come over. And it's the exact opposite. And I'm dying, you know, thinking even back to that scene. So I want to talk about like the writing the comedy part. I mean, was that intentional for you? Like you wanted to embrace that aspect of a rom-com, or do you, because you just find humor in love and relationships? I think you're also just a very funny person. So maybe I've answered my own question, but talk to us about that aspect.
Yeah. Comedy is so important to me as a person in life. I think it's so, I'll get on my soapbox, right?
Yes, here we please.
Are. We're on a pod. Comedy is the fabric of our lives. Like if you can't laugh, you'll just cry all the time. That's really generally my feeling about life because it's just so awful so much of the time that to find the comedy is, I think, what keeps us together. And so it was very important to me to just have a comedic team. Like Carol has so much experience in comedy. I wanted to make sure the script was funny. Like I wanted people to laugh out loud because when I watch a movie, I want to laugh out loud. Period. End of story. And so it was important to me to have good, good comedy in there. And the actors, to their credit and to SJ's credit, their timing was excellent. So it just sort of happened, I think, that way. But the communication scene, that's funny. That's like one of my favorite scenes also.
Oh, it's so good.
And, it's so fun. And that was, Timothy actually gave me the idea for, he was like, oh, there should be like some kind of cell phone miscommunication scene because I just feel like I probably miscommunicate in relationships like 99.9% of the time, cell phone or no cell phone.
All of us.
Yeah,
exactly. Like
Totally. I feel like even though I'm articulate, I just miscommunicate. Like I'm just not, or I'm not hearing. Like when the real life guy was like, we shouldn't be together. In my head, I was like, he just doesn't get it. Like,
yeah. Yes. Yes. You don't need the cell phone mishap part. Yeah. There's literally our own brains do this. When we hear what we want to hear, or you filter out the part you didn't want to hear, or you're like, they didn't really mean that, even though those were the exact words they used.
Even though they told me who they were, I was like, not true.
No.
You're not getting it.
And it goes on for the right amount of time, because I would have been skittish and scared and cut it off after like one or two. No, it goes on so that you really, it's really funny. It really lands. You're like, oh my gosh.
Thank you.
So good.
So I want to talk about the title, Love Reconsidered, and what it, like, I'm asking you to reconsider the title, the love, and that process of all of it. What did you take away from the movie, maybe the first time, and now, like, that you have some more distance, that it's getting more traction? When you reconsider it, what do you take back from love and this process?
Oh my God, that's such a good question. That's a really good question. Wow. What do I take back? I think, you know what, one of the biggest things that I've taken, I think, from the process is that, you know, you got to like trust yourself a little bit. You know, you can't be delusional. You can be a little delusional, but you also have to, you know, but you have to really trust that your team and the people that you've compiled in this crazy world and this crazy idea that you've had are going to deliver for you because you've chosen the right people. And I think what I can really think about as I look back on it, I think to myself, thank God for that team to help me even reconsider what love is, you know, the input that Carol had, the input that SJ had, the input that even the cast had on some of the lines, to just think about it differently, to think, oh my God, that's even funnier than I could have imagined. That collaborative process is what makes me keep going back to this terrible, terrible, but sometimes terrible business, because it is the most connection and excitement that I've had with other people, maybe ever in my life. And it was like, looking back on it, we were in hell, like everything.
Yeah. But when it comes together, it's transcendent.
Totally.
Right?
Totally. Yeah.
That's what we're all chasing, right?
Absolutely. All day.
Oh, I love
In love, probably, and Hollywood too.
Yeah. But I think, you know, in life, I think that we're all looking for connection. I really think that that's the human condition, is that we look for connection and we look for joy. And it's important to me to create projects and to write projects that try to capture some of that.
Yeah. Are you writing any new projects or working on any? I know you and SJ have a production company, so tell us.
Yeah.
You're writing. So
whatever you can tell us.
I can. We're producing one of Jill Kargman's new movies, who just is the funniest writer I've ever. She did Odd Mom Out.
Yep.
She's just, the script is amazing. And we're super excited about it. And then we're producing that. We're producing something that's a little bit out of our comfort zone, but we're stoked about it. We're producing a horror that SJ's husband wrote and Scotty Landis wrote together. And then I'm writing a comedy about my mom running for state rep in Connecticut during COVID. It's not about COVID, but it's about her running for state rep.
Oh, this is so funny. First of all, I've heard you personally tell me some stories around that, and I'm already, they're just so fun. It's just, it's a great material there, I think. Wow. Oh my God, I'm so excited. You have so much in the works.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. It's really cool. Yeah.
You know, that's the thing about, I think being a little delusional is okay if you're doing things, right? You're like, you're working, you're producing, you're writing, and then the magic makes it all come together. But you can't just be sitting alone and delusional, like my prince will come, my movie script will land on my front door, right? Like, you have to be actually doing the work and then be a little delusional about where it goes. Sure, why not?
Right. Totally.
Yeah.
But that's when the fate comes in, the guy, the executive producer walking into your store. You had to have written the script, right? You had put that in the universe and by creating this, and then that's what, you were ready in that moment when fate or kismet or whatever brought him to you.
Yeah.
So this is a good woo-woo psych. You know, we're a little woo-woo, Ari, and we're talking about fate and kismet. Now we're going to talk about astrology. We always ask our interviewees, you know, what's your sign and do you relate? I know your sign, a Virgo. And I'm pretty sure you relate, but you tell me.
Yes, I'm a Virgo, but wait, I have my like other signs. Hold on.
Oh,
yay.
I had a feeling that maybe
So good.
You know, I should have given you a heads up.
Oh my also, God. This is very Virgo of you.
I know.
To have done your
homework. To be prepared. Yes.
I'm prepared. I hate not being prepared, which is also probably really Virgo of me. I am you. Okay. I am an Virgo. I'm a Virgo. And then I'm an Aries sun and a rising Libra.
I love it.
Wait.
It's got to be
Aries.
Moon.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, Aries moon. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. I thought that, you know what, that little thing looks like a sun, but it's
yes, but this is so crazy because, okay, well, Corinne is an Aries an Aries rising, and I am a Libra rising. So we have a lot in common here.
There's some matching going on.
This makes a lot of, don't you think, Corinne, for her?
Oh, it
makes
so
a lot
much sense.
Of sense. Oh my gosh.
And what I mean is to say it makes so much sense why we love you so much.
Yeah, completely. Yes. Completely. Oh my gosh. I love that. And that is very Virgo
and
to
you
have
were
looked that
prepared.
Up.
I know. My fave. I want to talk about, so it's February. We're talking about love.
Yeah.
We want to, Kate and I are also revisiting some of our classic rom-coms, some of our favorites. And it's always interesting to hear like inspirations for Love Reconsidered or just inspirations for your life in the rom-com area. What are your faves? New or old?
Oh, this is my favorite thing to talk about. I love rom-coms. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So number one rom-com maybe of all time is I'll tell you the movies that I love. I don't want to like.
Yes.
I love.
Don't rank them.
I'm not going to rank them, but I love Mystic Pizza. I love
classic.
Such a good one. I love like all of like the Notting Hills, the Runaway Brides. I love like In-N-Out, which I personally believe to be a rom-com, even though an untraditional one. In-N-Out is like one of my favorite movies of all time. I could watch it any day, anytime, day or night. I just love it. Oh, I love Love Actually. I do. Love an ensemble cast.
Yes,
I love an
that's
ensemble
true.
Cast.
Yeah, and that has been different stories. That's modeled like yours a little with the different vignettes. Okay. What were you going to say was your all-time favorite?
I was going to say like Notting Hill was my all-time favorite, but I don't know if it is because I also love like My Best Friend's Wedding and Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts is just the best.
The queen.
Yeah.
She's the queen.
Yes.
But I also love a little bit of like a non-traditional rom-com that we think we saw like later in the 2000s. Like I love Catherine Hahn. I think that she's just the funniest. And when you put her in sort of these like indie rom-coms, she shines so bright, you know?
Yeah,
and so I love something that's like a little bit untraditional.
Love that too.
Yeah.
What are the elements for you? Is it the ones that have a lot of the comedy? Like what makes a good rom-com to you?
I think a good rom-com has to have comedy. Like people who are truly honest to God funny. I can't watch things that aren't funny. I just can't do it. Can't do it.
Yeah. Or when they rely too much on the situation, right? You're like, okay, this is funny, but no one's really landing their marks and it's not really working. But And then otherwise, a movie cannot be that funny on paper. And then when you get the right actors in it, you're like, oh my God, this is so funny.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. And their timing is so important. And I also... I think that's actually a really good point, that it can't rely on the situation. It has to have all of those other elements. I've never thought about that before, but I think that's actually totally accurate. And I also feel like it has to have some kind of happy ending, even if it's a non-traditional happy ending. Yeah. I'm just over watching movies that don't – it can be like, you know, I think our ending, I won't give it away. I think it's not traditional. I think, you know, it's – I don't think it's like a traditional happy ending.
Right.
But – it's a happy ending for the character. And I think that that's like so important. Like, I don't want to watch movies that don't have a happy ending for the character.
Yeah, you want to feel hopeful.
Yes.
Yeah. I also just don't want to feel in life like I'm not going to have a happy ending.
Yes, that's right. It's bullshit.
No, and I think you're right. And I think people associate that too simplistically with, riding off into the sunset or a kiss at the end. No. It has to feel like, a hopeful resolution to that storyline and that character. And you guys definitely nailed it with Love Reconsidered.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
It was so great. Well, Ari, thank you so much for chatting
with us.
We are so excited that your movie is now going to be in theaters, select theaters, and streaming everywhere, right? Tell people where it's going to be streaming.
It is currently available. Well, I guess this will air. So it's available for streaming on Apple TV, Amazon, Vudu, and YouTube at the moment.
Just those.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy. It's like so bizarre.
It's amazing.
I saw it. Well, I guess we're recording this before it's going to come out. But, you know, it's available for pre-order on Apple TV now. And I saw that and I was like, oh,
that's my movie.
I was just gonna but then we're gonna start telling people. I didn't. Now I will. We'll start plugging it even sooner because it's available for pre-order. This is like what we say with Corinne's debut novel. I'm like, people, pre-orders matter. Yeah. They help. Yeah. Like, we want to start generating the buzz. Yes,
totally.
Yeah. Amazing. All right. We love it. Thank you so much. We were so happy to be part of the small part of the process.
This was awesome. This was so fun.